All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second episode of Scholars and Dollars. Scholars and Dollars is a podcast that South Carolina Student Loan has created that tries to get information out about higher education, pathways to workforce development. We talk about financial aid. To be honest with you, what are those opportunities that are available so that people aren't having to borrow so much money to go to college? So today, we are very, very fortunate that I get to have two amazing people that I've known for just a while. I've known Katie, I guess I've known you 27-ish years, 25, 27 years. We and Zach, they both are wonderful, wonderful people. I will tell you, I was mentioning to them earlier that it's like having rock stars of financial aid hanging out with you. They've done so much. So maybe that's probably where we get this thing started, is for you guys to tell me a little about yourself so people get to know who you are, and then we'll delve into where you work and what you do. So, Katie, we'll start with you.
Sure, thank you. I'm happy to be here with you today. My name's Katie Harrison. I'm the Executive Director of the South Carolina Tuition Grants Commission. Prior to working at the Tuition Grants Commission, I worked at the University of South Carolina and Lander University in the financial aid office, and I did a little stint at South Carolina Student Loan.
She did. She hung out with down the hall from me for a little while.
I did for a little while. So great experiences. I've been working in student financial aid and higher education field for 27-ish years now, and very happy to be at the commission and happy to be here today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Zach?
Hey, I'm Zach Christian. I'm the Deputy Director at the South Carolina Tuition Grants Commission. Prior to my role at the commission, I was a financial aid counselor at my alma mater, Winthrop University. I've been in the financial aid realm for 10 years now, and all of my professional experience has been in student financial aid.
It is. I tell you, they don't even do themselves justice. They're also past presidents of our South Carolina Association of Financial Aid Administrators. So they've played such an important role in our state about financial aid, getting good information to families, not only about what you guys do, but really opportunities for pathways for everyone, whether it be some of the colleges and universities that you guys deal directly with today, but obviously two-year technical schools, four-year public and private, all play a role, all have different opportunities for families, and you guys do such a great job with all of this. So thank you so much. So with that being said, we do have you here for a reason. We want to talk to you today about South Carolina tuition grants, where, you know, what that is, where it came from, who's eligible for it. So, Katie, maybe we'll start with you if you just want to give us a quick history lesson on tuition grants, and we'll start there.
Okay, sure. I have a pop quiz for you.
Okay. I'm rich. I've been wrong three times this morning already, so we're good.
Back before your time or my time, back in the late 60s and early 70s, there was a surge in college enrollment across the country. Do you remember why? Do you know why?
I have no idea why.
It was because of the great number of veterans coming back from the Vietnam War.
Oh, dang.
A lot of folks had gone over very young. They were drafted to go fight in the war. And when they came back, they were given the promise of their GI Bill, which had been created back in 1944. So GI Bill, college enrollment, a lot of these veterans were really taking advantage of that and wanted to go back and get their college degree or start their college degree and take advantage of that. So across the country and in South Carolina included, colleges were bursting at the seams. So your typical four-year university pathways, those colleges weren't prepared for the enrollment surge that they got as a result of the veterans returning home. So South Carolina and many other states around that time period decided to enhance the college-going opportunities in their states by allowing equalization grants for students who might want to go to a private college instead, because we have public colleges in the state, we had two-year colleges, we had four-year colleges, and we had private colleges and universities as well. So throughout the state, there was a lot of real estate on our college campuses and a lot of opportunities for students. But funneling them all into the public sector was kind of creating some chaos in the state and in the nation. So South Carolina did implement the tuition grants program as an equalization type of a grant for students who chose to use their GI Bill but wanted to go to a smaller or private college instead. So that actually happened in 1970. May 1st, 1970, our program was signed into law by Governor Robert McNair at the time. And in 1973, 1974, the program was able to give its first appropriation out to 43 students at the time.
It's a long way, right?
A long way, yeah. So we started with 43 students. Initially, there were four colleges across the state that were eligible for to participate in the program. Since that time, a lot has happened. And we've grown the program. We've grown our partnerships. We have really invested in our state's residents to go to college, whether it's two-year, four-year public or private or a trade. So the state has done a really great job investing in these types of programs. And since those early days in the 1970s, the tuition grant program has grown from four colleges to 22 participating colleges. And we're now funding over 12,000 students annually.
That's crazy. I think you got your newest college this past year.
Two years ago. Yes.
Yeah. Bob Jones. So you're still growing after all these years. I find it, every time that we go to a financial aid conference or we're doing something that I get to stand up on a mic, I get excited about the fact that I get to say at some point in time, well, South Carolina Student Loan was founded in 1973, so we're celebrating our 50th year. And Katie gets up right before me and steals all of that thunder. I forget how long you guys have been doing this kind of stuff at Tuition Grants. So it's been happening for quite a while. Very important what the work that South Carolina Tuition Grants does. And I would even say, I think it's a testament to our state that they continue. Katie and I sit in some meetings together at least once a year to talk about state budgets and the state being able to allot some of these funds to South Carolina Tuition Grants is very, very important for those students in the state of South Carolina. So, Zach, I think maybe what we would want to do is talk to families in South Carolina about if they're interested in one of these private colleges that you guys help fund. How would they get it? What's the eligibility criteria for a student that's interested in taking that path?
Awesome. Yeah. So the application process for the tuition grants program is very simple. It's already the FAFSA. So students will complete the free application for federal student aid online at studentaid.gov. And as long as they list one of our 22 schools anywhere on their FAFSA, they are automatically reviewed for eligibility. So we do have an application deadline of August 1st annually. So students will have from the day the FAFSA becomes available until August 1st to submit that form. Once their FAFSA is submitted, we are going to receive it and review it for initial eligibility. Students and their parents have to be legal South Carolina residents, domiciled in the state for at least 1 year. Students have to be enrolled full-time, so 12 or more credit hours each semester. They must be making adequate satisfactory academic progress and progressing towards completion of their degree. And then they have to sign an annual affidavit with the state.
Pretty easy, man. I think one of the things that I find very interesting about South Carolina Tuition Grants is not only is it an easy process to complete by completing the FAFSA, you're already putting yourselves in there, but I do think that people need to know, regardless of where you're going or what you're doing, there's no reason for you not to complete the FAFSA to begin with. We were having some conversations last week about this topic and what that means to create that eligibility for our students. But more importantly, I think the free application for federal student aid is probably taking a little bit of heat over this last year. And that's probably minimizing the amount of conversation that's been surrounding the FAFSA. But I would say this, since it's such an important aspect of what you all do, the FAFSA simplification was really something that I think the intent was very well done. And I'm sure they're working to make sure that everything gets taken care of and gets corrected. But it did create some problems this last year. So Katie, maybe you can give us an idea of not pointing fingers, it makes no difference, but what were the delays like and how has that impacted what you guys have done? What happened with the FAFSA?
Yeah, there really was kind of a perfect storm. So this started back in 2020, I believe, with the passage of the Future Act at the federal level that would allow a direct data exchange between the IRS and the Department of Education when students complete their FAFSA. So that was really one of the main intents of FAFSA simplification is directly tie the IRS to the FAFSA and eliminate that whole financial piece that parents and students have to worry about getting every year. And, you know,
it's usually
really,
the struggle. Of
it's
it
usually the struggle. Yeah. So it theoretically would have made that a more seamless, transition. Along with that came the need for the Department of Education to completely overhaul the old system that they used to complete FAFSAs previously. So the 2023-2024 FAFSA was the last old FAFSA, as we know it, that was completed, and all the behind-the-scenes stuff was taken care of on an old tried-and-true system, but it needed to be replaced, yeah. Right? You know, technology evolves and things need to be replaced. And in order to accommodate this direct exchange with the IRS, which brings into things like federal tax information and things that have to be really highly protected in transit to take care of student data and parent data, that was not able to be accomplished on the old system. So not only was the Department of Education grappling with creating new regulations to implement the FAFSA simplification law and the Future Act that came out a few years ago, they were having to do it on a completely new system build. And I think just time ran out. Time ran out for them to be able to adequately test everything that needed to be tested. And so the FAFSA was delayed a little bit by about 3 months last year for the 2024-2025 year. It was delayed a little bit to allow them to do some of those last minute updates and changes. And then when it was released, a lot of different problems started coming to light with people just having difficulty with the user experience and getting through the FAFSA if they didn't already have what's called an FSA ID, which is your electronic identity authentication for the FAFSA. Students and parents were having a hard time getting through that process this year. You know, we made a little bit of progress, and then we've taken a little bit back, and a little bit more progress, and a little bit back as far as the Federal Department of Education working with institutions and with state agencies like ours to get the data to us so that we can process aid. So it has been a little bit of a delay this year and some stumbling blocks for people to get through the process. But if anybody out there is still struggling, I would just say, please don't give up. Yeah, we did extend our deadline by a month this year to accommodate for some of these issues.
Yeah, I think you went from July to August. Is that?
We went from June to August 1st.
Yeah.
June 30th to August 1st. And, you know, we'll still work with students who may still be having issues. You know, we do have an appeals process that we can work through with students who are still struggling and just can't get through that process for this year. We'll certainly make some accommodations. But I would just say don't give up. There's lots of resources. Student Loan has a great outreach department. There's agencies like the Tuition Grants Commission and the State's Commission on Higher Education, college financial aid offices, high school counselors, TRIO programs. There's lots of different organizations and people throughout the state that are trained to help students through this process.
You know, and I think if our audience forgets everything else. I think that's the key, right? Is that when you're having problems, reach out to someone. If you're getting an email, open it, answer it, right?
Yeah.
To see what those things are that a schoolmate might need to get you as a family through that process. I will say this, this is a little scary. When I was doing some research earlier on, we obviously care about the free application for federal student aid because it kickstarts most other financial aid processes, and as our loan programs go, it's usually at the end. So delays in all of that other process can delay ours. But if you look back to COVID, the COVID year, I think the FAFSA in South Carolina was completed at a 4% reduction year over year the year before, and what that did to enrollment for that year was fairly dramatic. And if you look at that in relation to now, I think we're at a 12% decrease in FAFSA completion at the beginning of maybe 2 weeks ago as we look at it in the state of South Carolina. So that's a concern. And I would say, you know, one of the things that I think is a horrible potential impact of that is that oftentimes the students that need it the most are the ones that feel like they can't complete it. The rural South Carolina first-generation students that definitely need financial assistance to be able to get through it. If they've had problems, walking away and not completing it is something that is probably at a higher risk to them. So, yeah, like I said, if people forget everything else that we said, just if you haven't done it, go do it, right? I mean, let's go complete the FAFSA and make sure that That process is taken care of. If you have any problems, reach out to your college's financial aid office, high school counselors. Like I said, call our office, call Katie. They'll help in any way they can, regardless of what college or university you're planning to go to. So one of the things that I kind of like to leave these conversations with is Scholars and Dollars is built, I try to build it so that we're giving out helpful tips. It's built for creating a pathway, regardless of what that pathway is. And I think sometimes we kind of get wrapped around the axle that it's a four-year public process. Everybody should go through it. I went to the University of South Carolina, and my mother told me to go to the University of South Carolina many, many years ago. So that was the path for me. It's not for everyone. It takes all types of paths to make people successful. Katie mentioned our technical colleges, wonderful resource in the state of South Carolina. You have 16 opportunities in our technical schools to get that two-year education and create a trade. Our four-year publics are wonderful colleges, but I think what you guys do is provide another path, right, for those students that maybe want that four-year experience but want a smaller. I would have probably benefited from that, quite honestly. You know, I come from rural South Carolina, and walking into a classroom of 250 people is not for everybody. So I would say thank you both for what you do, and I think the idea of creating a grant that makes those colleges a little more accessible. What are your thoughts? I think you probably would agree with me, Zach, that many people don't understand that that pathway can actually be affordable as well. I think many people think private colleges are very expensive in comparison, and that might not necessarily be the case, correct?
Correct. So when it comes down to what institution or type of institution is going to fit best for the student and the family, it's all going to come down to the bottom line. And as you were talking about technical colleges, the majority of our schools, so the 22 private independent colleges and universities that we work with, have wonderful bridge programs and partnerships with the technical system. And so students could start 2 years at Midlands Tech, Trident Tech, transfer into a private institution that fits. And the benefit with the tuition grants program is we're not limited to a student right out of high school. We have a large population of adult learners. A lot of our colleges have online non-traditional programs that students who stopped out, needed to take a break, life got in the way, and later want to go back and finish their career could still be eligible for our program. But just simply enrolling in the technical system. So there are paths for students who want to go and get an academic certificate. There are paths for students who just simply want to go and get a training certificate.
Right.
I myself actually went and completed the database analyst certificate through Midlands Tech a few years ago, and that has opened the door to a lot of great opportunities.
You teach there, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, so. I was going to make sure that everybody got an opportunity to understand that as well. I told you I was hanging out with famous people.
Yeah. And so there's great opportunities. So even if a four-year degree is not best for a student, if they want to continue their education, there are methods and processes that can do so.
I think one of the things that gets lost when people are having conversations about impacts of college and universities is that we forget that there's an enormous pool of non-traditional students that benefit from higher education, both those that maybe didn't take that path when they got out of high school and moved in a different way, but maybe want to go back. I'm a big believer that higher education is a lifetime learning opportunity. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, you get on and you kind of get off of that road at different times. So absolutely think that, you know, what you guys do with tuition grants adds to that opportunity. It's another path for people to get back on. And I will say this, I don't mind saying it. I believe that higher education still has an amazing return on investment. I think people need to pay attention to what those costs are. Only borrow what you need. For example, in my world, we want to make sure that people are borrowing responsibly. Know what that major is going to pay when you get out of school so that you're well thought out in terms of what you can expect 2 years or 4 years later. So what you all do is so important to all of that. And I think really not just the grant itself, it's really about what you guys give in information, making people smarter, making them understand what those processes are. So thank you both for that. I think we decided that if we had one tip, if we were going to give one person one thing that they could remember when they left here and stopped listening to us, what would it be? Katie, I'll start with you. I'll put you on the spot and we'll see how they go. Right?
Well, I did want to mention this earlier, so I guess I'll kind of tie it in. The state of South Carolina does have a goal, a statewide goal of having 60% of its adults holding a high-quality post-secondary credential by the year 2030. I believe we're hovering around 52% right now, so we have a little bit of work to do. Yeah, we have a little bit of work to do. So post-secondary credential, whether that be a training certificate, a two-year degree, a four-year degree, a master's, whatever that means for you, really is what we're getting at, and that there are opportunities for every student at every step of the way, whether you're a 16-year-old who couldn't finish high school for whatever reason, life gets in the way, or you're a 56-year-old who wants to do a whole new career.
Yeah.
You know, there's something for everybody. There's something for everybody. There's even people in their 80s and 90s who have graduated from USC recently,
right,
with their first degree. So that's always a great thing to see. So I will say that there's opportunities for everybody. The key to unlocking funding for those opportunities is that FAFSA that we talked about. One tip I guess I would give about the FAFSA is that it is not a one and done application. It does have to be renewed every year. So once you do find your path and know where you're going, you will want to make sure that you pay attention to emails and things and reminders that come to you and make sure that that is done every year. Once you get through it the first time, it's not as bad the second time.
That's right. That's exactly right. The more you do anything, right, the better off you get. Zach, in addition to someone going to Midlands Tech and taking your class and getting smarter, what else do you have for them?
I definitely would say to complete the FAFSA. So one of the biggest myths with it is my family makes too much. I'm not going to qualify for anything. And while you may not qualify for the Pell Grant and you may not qualify for some of those high need programs like the tuition grant, that while we are still need based, we are strictly cost of attendance minus that SAI. So we have families and students who go to Furman University, Wofford College, Presbyterian, that have those higher costs of attendance figures that are still receiving the full tuition grant amount.
Yeah.
And so even if you don't think you're going to qualify for something with the new process, when it does work, and we are very hopeful that it's going to continue to work well
for this coming year, it's getting close, right?
But families that are able to complete it start to finish are completing it in less than 10 minutes. So the overall intent of the FAFSA simplification to make it less burdensome on families is true, and it really is happening.
Right.
It's just a matter of let's continue to see that progress.
We can make it more efficient and hopefully take out some of the errors that not only families are seeing on their side, but I also hear, you know, you hear, I don't want to call them horror stories, but it does make a financial aid officer's job much more difficult when they're trying to correct some of those errors that they're receiving as well from the FAFSA. So you had mentioned, I'll say, during my career here at South Carolina Student Loan, one of the opportunities I've had it was to reach out to the different campuses and do school visits. Katie and I have done them together, as a matter of fact. Just quickly speaking about private schools, I had the very first time that I got to go visit Furman University, I walked into the office and they said, "Ray, let me take you around on the golf cart. I'll show you." And it took about 30 seconds. And I thought, that's how you recruit the Furman right there. You just drive them around that campus and let them see it. So I've had a great opportunity to visit all of our public and private colleges in South Carolina. There's something for everybody, and there are beautiful places throughout the state to take a look and visit. So regardless of what those colleges are, regardless of what your path is, South Carolina tuition grant certainly makes it more reasonable if your path is for some of our private colleges in the state. So thank you both so much. It's funny. I like hanging out and talking to people that I've known for forever, because it feels like, you know, we can do this anytime. So thank you for what you do. Appreciate your time. We will have information to reach out to South Carolina Tuition Grants, their contact information. Our website information will be made available at the end of the podcast, and make sure that you're taking a look, getting all that information. If you have any questions, give us a call and let us know. So thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely.